Let's go live to Ukraine and Joseph Lindsley. Hello to you, Joe. Were you surprised that the Russians were willing to negotiate with the United States for the release of Brittany Griner?
No, actually, and I wasn't familiar. I did not hear this news yet today. I mean, you know, what's happened to her is terrible, and it's an example of how Russia is not a free country. And she faced, you know, currently she faces the years of many years in a Russian prison, which I think is probably one of the worst places you could imagine. So, no, but again, everything, you know, as I always say, anything that comes out of the Kremlin, it's all part of the chess strategy here. And so I never presume goodwill on their parts. But if they see some way they can benefit from it, that's the only reason why they would make such a move.
Yeah, it was just announced a few minutes ago. Brittany Griner is now in U.S. custody, freed in a prisoner swap. Coming up.
That's fantastic, and I'm very happy for her because it was she faced an absolutely horrible situation to be in prison there. Bob, as I speak to you now, we just finished an air alarm here in Kharkiv. Everything is calm, and I'm in a Georgian restaurant. And there's a group of Ukrainian soldiers, and they just handed me one of their patches. It says Donbass, and it has the Ukrainian trident in the shape of a dove. So like a symbol of peace and strength together. Anyway, just as we were speaking, they handed me the patch, and they're all giving me the thumbs up here.
Let me ask you about a report I saw yesterday, Joseph, in his story on President Zelensky being named Times Person of the Year, Richard Engel on NBC, and I think he's one of the best correspondents they have. He mentioned that Zelensky was not that popular before the war, and may not be, and maybe voted out of office after the war. I was very surprised to hear that. Do you agree with that, Joe?
Well, you know, Ukraine is, you know, it's a fiercely democratic country. People like to argue, and there's free speech here, and certainly, you know, before February 24th, I was based in Lviv, and people in Western Ukraine tended to favor the previous president, Poroshenko. They thought he was tougher on Russia. But the big criticism of President Zelensky before February was that he was too naive in hoping that there could be a lasting peace with Russia. Many Ukrainians were saying, you know, almost like Churchill was to Neville Chamberlain in the 1930s, Russia is going to try to do exactly what they've done now. Russia's going to invade us in a full-scale invasion one day. And so that was the chorus of many of the critics of President Zelensky. But from those early, especially those early days, even people still criticize some of the policies now and then, but there is a deep respect for Zelensky the man, Zelensky the Ukrainian, the way he did not flee, the way he stayed, you know, on Bankover Street, you know, in the presidential house, despite threat to his life. And so there's a deep respect for him. And, you know, it's really hard to think about, you know, what kind of politics it would be, you know, after victory. It all seems a little bit far away now, but there is, you can still, I mean, you know, in Russia, you can't go around criticizing Putin, and by all accounts. But in Ukraine, I mean, I was talking with people that work for the government, and they speak quite freely. And so this, and I think, and Ukrainians know, I mean, that's what they have to, the freedom is the thing that they hold on to. I was just watching this, an interview, I think from a couple of months ago, with Jordan Peterson speaking with Piers Morgan. And Jordan Peterson was saying that, you know, the famous psychologist, he said, you know, we can't win against Russia because you can never say, Slava Ukraini. The soldiers are saying goodbye to me as they leave the restaurant.
Nice.
It's just great. It's that type of energy that keeps people going. And the fact that they know that I'm speaking to America is, you know, again, it's always this lifeline. But Jordan Peterson said to Piers Morgan, Russia's going to win because you can't say no to Putin. And there's some truth to, you know, if you can't say no to someone, that person's going to win. But what he missed is you can't say no to Ukrainians who insist on being free. And I really feel that spirit here in Kharkiv, you know, a city that the Russians almost took over in 2014, but the people rose up against it. And we're, you know, again, we're only 30 miles from the Russian border. And my friend, a civic leader here, Ihor Balalaka, he said to me yesterday, there's two different words for freedom. In Ukrainian language, there's svoboda, which is freedom as we all talk about it, freedom or liberty, how we think of it in America and around the world. And then there's a deeper word, and it's called volia, and it means the will to freedom. And that's what Ukrainians have. You can have freedom sort of passively, svoboda, and like, you know, like we do in America. We live in a free country. But to have volia is to have this deep desire always to be free. And the fact that they have a word for that in Ukrainian, that means that these are people. And so contrary to, I think, what Jordan Peterson would say, you cannot say no to Ukrainians when it comes to freedom. And that's really, that's the deep spirit. That's why they're willing to fight for it and die for it, even as cheerfully as they possibly can.
Is there much talk over there about what Putin said yesterday, that the war is going to take a while, and he was warning again about an increasing risk of nuclear war?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he was asked about that during some conference in Russia, and he said, yeah, of course, the possibility is increasing. And, you know, obviously part of that is he's trying to keep people scared. But no, those things don't, I mean, those things don't affect the Ukrainians very much. I mean, everyone here knows it's difficult. In fact, yesterday I was speaking with my friend Anton, who's a soldier now. Before the war, he was in IT, had an IT business. And every day, he's also been volunteering and helping to evacuate people, Ukrainians from these gray zones who live in, you know, right at the edge where there's still, you know, there might be Russian soldiers in the forest. And many of these people have been injured. And he was describing, you know, how gruesome it is to see these injuries, things that I don't even want to explain to you in detail as people are driving to work in Chicago. And he said, every night, I said, how do you deal with this? You know, how do you try to keep going? And he said, every night I'm just crying quietly with a little vodka before I go to sleep. And then I get up the next day and we keep going and we keep fighting. And so no matter what we hear from the Kremlin, you know, there are some bad times with horrible strikes right now. This week has been pretty peaceful thanks to the air defense. But it really is this sense of, yeah, it's absolutely difficult, but people find ways to keep going, especially, I think, not alone. You know, you keep going together and keep encouraging each other. And remembering that folia, that will to freedom, that will to be free.
And I imagine a little vodka helps now and then, for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not. I mean, some of these stories we hear from Russia is that, you know, because I think they're, you know, what are they fighting for? What are they living for? That there's a lot of abuse of that there. But here, you know, it's everyone is focused on the mission. But yeah, a little bit before you go to sleep, because it's very important to get a good rest. Yeah, you live life, and they talk about the war life balance here in Ukraine, and that's very essential.
Yeah, stay fortified, Joseph. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.